Today's podcast actually isn't a DWA podcast. This is a CWA podcast starring Warren Madsen, Ali Javedan, and myself, Lane Skelton. On this podcast, we talk about camping and food you eat while camping, tents. That's kind of what we talk about, all that kind of stuff, travel. And you can find this podcast everywhere where podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those things. We have about 20-something episodes up right now, so go find it, like it, review it, rate it, and enjoy.
This is Camping While Awesome.
I'm Lane.
I'm Ali.
And I'm Warren. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome.
Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Did we do that out of order?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Okay.
What do we do out of order?
I think Warren goes first, right?
But that's fine. I like that.
Warren, do you go first?
I like to mix it up a little bit.
Wait, what happened?
I said this is Camping While Awesome. You said I'm Lane. Ali, and I said I'm Warren.
Oh, I jumped.
That's okay.
It's because like Uno. You just got the skip card, dude. During
you were
Uno.
Just really slow to say your name.
Yeah, it was kind of going a casual.
You were like, "This is Camping While Awesome." And then I'm like, "I'm Lane."
Yeah,
that's what Lane does. Lane just commits. Point him to the jump.
Sorry about that.
Full
guys.
Throttle commitment.
There isn't many more people that I know that just do shit. Just get shit done.
Oh right? Yeah,
ripping
yeah.
In the tearing.
I'm a doer, dude.
What's up with this mug? Isotherm. It's not isotherm.
That's just a Yeti, sticker. Bro.
It's a sticker I took off of the isotherm refrigerator.
Got it. I was like, dude, they make mugs now?
Nah.
It's more expensive than Yeti and whatever combined isotherm.
Dometic.
Dometic.
But not Grizzly. Thank you very much. It looks good, though. It's a nice looking mug.
I'm surprised you would admit that. It's a Yeti, dude.
I know, but I like that frosted gray.
You want one?
Kind of look.
It's a range one. Look at.
Oh, no, I'm not cool enough for that, but I do appreciate it. What's ET all about?
Okay. It was a Yeti sticker, and I didn't have a way of identifying my own, so then I cut the Y and the I off, and I did ET.
Dude, look at you.
Like he's Radwood smart, style.
Dude. Like Radwood style.
He's a smart guy.
ET. Hey, I even sharpied in the little period right here.
We're almost to 1,000 followers on Camping While Awesome Instagram.
What?
So if you're listening and you're like, what? I need more things to follow on Instagram, like cool camping content.
Yeah.
Holler at Camping While Awesome.
Holler at your boys right now. Holler at your boys.
Yeah. So it's happening. We're making it. We're really doing it, guys.
I'm looking at this picture. Motor Trend
945
of a Rivian R1X.
Yeah.
It's like outfitted like SUV.
Yep.
Looks pretty dope.
I did not look through that yet, but I saw the announcement and it looks kind of cool.
So it's like more of a hatchbacky, or what's the difference?
I think it looks kind of like a boxy,
but it's more like, ooh. Does it slope in the rear a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, it's more SU, like,
but it looks crossover. Good how it's like kitted out. Let me right? See.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure that's hold on,
it looks cool.
Is that on Rivian's feed?
This is on Motor Trend.
Okay, there was another one, the Rivian van thing, the camper van thing that they talked about. Two. That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
I need to catch up on my Rivian news, I guess.
Yeah, dude.
I'm fresh out of Rivian news.
I don't know how camping this. Oh no, it's kind of camping style. I bought two electric bikes the other day.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Two e-bikes.
Jesus.
They from Saunders, you know that company?
Yeah.
So it's the step through one. It's called like the step through. It's just like a, looks like a girl's bike kind of.
They just call them step through frames now.
Yeah. But they're full. It folds in half as well. Right there. Right at the
travel.
Basically. And they were open box. They had an open box sale going on. The bikes are $1,700 everywhere. They were $500 each.
Whoa. Anything wrong with them?
Just like scratches and stuff.
Okay. And what are you going to do with them?
Just put them at the house. For
you're not going to ride them.
No, we'll ride them.
Oh, okay.
But come
just
on.
For the wall.
I'm just saying, like, I got them for my house, like, to have these bikes at the house.
Yeah.
Get, you know, cruise yeah. around.
Basically. Another smart purchase by Lane.
But I think it's a cool, also, like, going camping and stuff, I think it's a cool thing to have. Like, yeah. so one thing I'm stoked about with this year's Camping Well Awesome, which we've talked about a lot, but going in Laguna Seca next week. Maybe you're listening to it and we're going in 2 days from now, probably actually. So one exciting thing about that is we plan on bringing some e-bikes.
Heck and yeah, we are.
That's a pretty rad way to go down to the track, cruise around the pits and stuff. Like, how sick is that going to be?
Very cool.
I got for my car, I'm going to put on the Porsche when I go down there. I'm going to put an e-bike on the roof of the Porsche. I got Seasucker mount.
Oh, dang. That's like Eric Horton was rolling on
yeah.
his.
Yeah.
On the 944.
So it's the suction mount. I have a two bike one. And I actually bought it for the Polestar to bring the Zoos BMX bike that we have here at range to the Autopia 2099 car show. Because I'm
What's
bringing,
Autopia 2099?
It's an electric car show in Richmond, and I'm bringing the Polestar.
Where's Richmond?
It's in Virginia. And I'm bringing the Polestar, but it feels so weird bringing a new kind of boring car to a car show. So I was like, I need to juice this. I need to,
juice it up a little bit.
Juice it up, spice it up a little bit. So I want to put the electric bike on the roof of the Polestar.
I see.
At least it'll be like somewhat
yeah.
cooler than just having a, like, it feels just like going to a showroom floor.
If you or like a Whole Foods. Car.
Yeah. A Whole Foods.
You have like a vape pen and a whole, and a.
Yeah. You're just like, hey, look at, here's the charger station. Oh, we'll walk through the Tesla section and then the Electrify America section.
Yeah. Yeah. Get some kombucha and some macarons and then you're good.
That's right.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I like it. I do like the option of bringing a bike. Now I'm like, I should bring my bike to camping.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
You can put it on my roof of the 911.
Well, I'll have a truck or a van.
Okay, never
actually,
mind.
Question. What should I bring to Camping Well Awesome?
Oh.
So I have three choices.
E36M3.
Yeah, put the seats down.
Done.
You don't need to camp in it.
No, I don't need to camp in it. But I have three vehicles that I could camp in. Option number one, 1987 Volkswagen Vanagon. I've brought it many times. It is a camping rig. Option number two, Mercedes-Benz E320 wagon. Seats fold down flat. I've camped in it before there too.
Unless you plan on doing Uber on your downtime, I pass on that.
Like actually driving for Uber?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess I could do that too. Option three, 2000 Toyota Tundra.
Camp under the stars.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
I know the newness of the Toyota will make you bring that.
Be kind of fun, right?
But I do think the Vanagon is
the right call.
The play.
Yeah. Yeah. Vanagon's good. So Vanagon update really quick while we're on it. I got it cleaned and it's running great. Everything's good. But the front windshield rust bubbles have taken a new turn. They're not good. Oh. It's not good. It's accelerated. Rust is weird like that. It'll be like, oh, there's like a bubble. And then all of a sudden, it just goes crazy. So there's a new spot forming on the other side of the windshield. The two spots that were already there are like getting to critical mass. There's like a crack forming.
So you need to bring it to a body shop. Take out the windshield. You need to have it fixed.
I know.
And the windshield.
It's just such a kick in the, you know what, to have that all of a sudden. It was sort of just like status quo. And
you're kind of watching it. You're checking over it.
Checking over it. But this last time when I washed the car, I washed it with Andrew in the driveway and we were going over it. And I was like, oh my God, that looks really bad. And like kind of peeled up the windshield seal. And I'm like, yeah, that's bad.
You got to do
that's
it bad. Before you have to like do gnarly work.
I know. You got to stop it. So that's where it's at. Like, I don't know. I talked to a buddy that was at Morning Motors that has a body shop. And he was like, yeah, well, we can get it figured out and stuff. But like you said, window out. All that stuff needs to be chopped out or grinded. And yeah, so there we are.
Yeah, and hopefully you're not yet at like a hole.
It's pretty close.
Okay. So he might need to weld a little patch panel in.
Yeah, pretty close. But man, all the Volkswagens do that.
I know. My first
is the sheet metal available
for a whole clip?
No, but you know, he's just going to need to like bend a little piece, like tiny.
I don't know if it's available.
My 79 Rabbit that I bought, my first car, bought it in like 97. It already had a hole there. The car was like perfect, but that was the thing. It had a little rust bubble, and then I cleaned it and it turned into a hole basically.
Yeah. And I sold a van again, a Synchro, for someone years ago, and it had just a complete hole right through it at that same spot.
And they, on the early Volkswagens, the electrical box is right there. So then water goes into the electrical box and like screws everything up.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But anyways, so I could still bring the
Vanagon. Vanagon's the right move.
Yeah.
Just because you can sleep inside and you won't wake
and
up with a bunch of
stuff.
All over your
Although
face.
Although you can keep your stuff in the truck.
And I'm not going to have that much stuff, really. And I could bring the bike.
The truck's cool, though, too. But you'd want a tent, right?
I was thinking I would just do... I have this little tiny head tent. I don't think I've talked about it on Camping While Awesome.
Oh, whoa.
Head tent?
Head tent.
Let me explain. Put your head in. It's like a helmet.
I'm going to wear that the next flight I take.
Yeah, it is like a helmet. It's like, imagine a tent that is 3 feet by 3 feet.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
Dome tent. That one side has a little sheath, a little slit that you slide into.
It's like a sleeping bag.
So you would slide your sleeping bag and your whole upper body into it. It goes around your like midsection.
Your head is a tent.
Your head is in a tent.
And then
tent.
You just wear like the gross toe shoes to go with it. Is it like all come as a package?
Yeah, this guy's talking about gross shoes.
I know, dude. Dude, yeah. You wear your Crocs.
No, nasty ass shoes. No.
You're low.
By the way, I ordered 2 more Crocs, so I'll have 3 different Crocs for car week.
So much.
I know. I want to get those Flofers, but not Crocs. All right. And so basically, your sleeping bag is exposed. It's for backpacking. It's for warm weather camping. I could use that and a tarp over. So I'd have like basically a little room in the bed. I'm talking about minimal setup. So
how about just a tarp?
Right. I would do it. I like the idea of a canvas tarp, but with a tarp, you need some structure to hold it off.
You need to figure out a way
to do it. It can't just be flat.
No, you need something like a bowed thing to keep it up.
My buddy built like a PVC A-frame that you just put together, and it's got like 3 bows.
Is there not a thing that's called like a, is there not a truck bed tent
there
you
is,
could buy?
There is. Absolutely. I just don't want to buy another thing. Well, how much?
I mean, that sounds rad, though.
It is. They also make, like, full air mattress.
$160
Amazon
this, like,
truck bed tent.
Rad thing.
Yeah, buy that, dude.
That's almost too much. I don't need it.
No, that's so sick.
What are you talking about?
Only $160?
This one delivers tomorrow.
And then you could burn. We could burn your stupid head tent, dude.
Dude, it has 966 positive reviews.
I think I'm going to go head tent and a canvas tarp.
Don't do the head. I don't like this.
Is a canvas tarp.
If you do a head tent, I'm just going to pee on your head.
By the way, that sounds so miserable to have to go to the bathroom if you're in your head tent.
Can you imagine?
I'm just going to piss my pants.
I don't ever have to go to the bathroom.
You never do. Camping, drinking like tons of beer and stuff. You just don't have to go to the bathroom.
I go before and I go when I wake up.
Jesus.
That's how you do it.
I always have to wake up in the middle of the night. I've officially tapped out of this conversation.
Yeah, I had you at Crocs.
At camping, I always have to wake up in the middle of the night. I'm always miserable. Hate camping.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Look at this, dude. It has like an awning. It has like a windsock.
Yeah.
Or a rain sock.
You should buy that.
Dude, now
it's called
so
the Umbrato.
Oh, you don't have a truck tent? Oh, jeez. Yeah. You don't have a truck tent?
I have a van tent.
This is a clean show, people.
Yeah, keep it clean, guys. Keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
I have a van tent. I have a personal tent. I've got a head tent.
Okay, I mean, let's swap a truck tent for a head tent. You're never going to use a head tent.
I could use it this weekend.
No, but you could also use a truck tent and be way cooler and way more comfortable.
It would be so cool to have a rad truck tent off the back of your new truck. It would look so cool.
Like just they're kind of lame, though. They're only one use.
You want to see lame one.
A head tent isn't lame.
Who's ever seen a head tent?
Exactly.
Jesus. Head tent is where it's at. And it folds down to like... size of a 2-liter bottle. It's tiny.
I hate this thing so much.
I hate head tents.
I'm going to burn your head tent with your head in it.
Let me pee on it first.
Are canvas tarps waterproof? pretty good, right?
You no, can,
they're not.
Well, you can make them waterproof.
Wax.
Them? Yeah, you have to get waxed canvas.
Yeah.
Waxed canvas tarp.
Yeah, but then it stinks so bad.
Yeah.
And you it's have to heavy, like, put it out for like 2 weeks.
Heavy.
It smells so
they're
bad.
Very heavy.
It's not a great material.
I just don't like sleeping under a tarp. Like the
Jesus Christ. I'm done talking about this.
Maybe a gray.
Hey,
maybe
there's
gray
like an tarp. Amazing about, tent.
He calls us princesses.
There's an amazing tent for $130 delivered tomorrow on Amazon. Like
amazing.
Beautiful.
Some Chinese brand you've never heard of.
Hey, I bet it works pretty well.
Okay, and then we'll show him like the higher end one that's like $200. Man, that's too expensive.
Now you've like pushed me into the corner of head tent.
I know it's so good, awful. Dude.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna have you to sleep. Hey, in go your, ahead. I will.
You sleep in your stupid head tent.
Just, hey, let's put a. Can we do a GoFundMe for Warren to get a truck bed tent?
Go ahead, tent, and see what I do. They also make those beds that blow up in
you
the
don't need more things. What are you doing
of the bed that have the spots for the wheel wells, you know? It's like has little
I've seen
cutouts
it.
Or whatever.
The other thing that's kind of cool that is way more useful than a stupid head tent are those cot tents where it's just like a single cot and then it's enclosed on the top.
Those
like
are
a tent,
pretty cool
where you can kind of like lay it on rough ground or like whatever.
And it's basically it's elevated.
It's an elevated cot.
Yeah, I have a cot.
Like Dua Lipa says, I'm elevated.
Oh,
yes.
You want me.
I want you, baby.
maybe I'll look into a cot tent. I have a cot.
Because then you can use the cot tent for other things.
Yeah, right, exactly. Have a cot.
I think I'm starting to understand him.
You were also like, you pushed him off his like stance of like not one, and then you're like, yeah.
Right, it's cool. Like a little fort.
That's cool.
Elevated fort tent.
The problem is you can get four of those truck tents with one of these cot tents.
Why? How much is that?
$380.
What?
There's some of them that are like $150, $170.
I just want
the good ones.
I want minimal.
$130. Look at that.
Oh, that's nice.
$130. You can open the whole side of it and have yourself a little like seance or whatever you want to do.
Little zone.
Just get the truck tent.
But the thing is there.
The truck tent is a better call.
Or you can just get a tent that's the size of a truck.
Just think about how much Andrew's going to love playing in the truck tent in the driveway. Like,
imagine him with the tent head.
Yeah, dude. Head tent.
Head tent.
How's Andrew going to make out with girls in the future in a head tent?
Look up head tent.
You unzip the front, your head's just, it's just a big helmet.
Well, that's the nice thing about the head
tent. He's so Radwood, he wants to be like Danny DeVito, or Danny whatever.
Danny DeVito?
Not Danny DeVito. Yeah. Karate George. Kid.
Karate Kid?
Yeah.
Oh, with a shower curtain.
Shower curtain.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, if you have two people in a head tent, you're really close together.
I'm interested to see what other people buy that buy the head tent.
Oh, probably.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's like a parasol tent.
It's called the outdoor face shelter.
Yeah. It's like the parasol version of a head tent.
Please, now you're
horrible,
just
dude.
You're offending me.
Tommy Bahama wouldn't even make one of these.
All it is for people who want to sleep outside. But
it
don't
doubles
get
as a cat bed.
Perfect. So does your face.
You're wearing a watermelon one.
Oh, that's nice, actually. I didn't know they made that.
This is so bad.
That's not it. It's more for backpacking.
That's it.
That's too small. That's too small. That's just like dark helmet.
Here, a single person pop-up tent for $50.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you can just go straight from there into a coffin.
Similar.
Look at that, dude. Would you sleep in that?
No, that's so, so scary. Like, that's like sketch.
Basically, I want to sleep out under the stars, but it gets so foggy and windy there that it's not great.
I just don't understand these head tent things,
dude. Look up backpacking head tent.
This is a really horrible situation right now. I think we should move on.
Okay.
Oh, you guys aren't feeling it, huh?
Okay, so let's move on before we all three of us are on our phones right now.
Okay, that's fine. I think you guys can't handle it. I'm very okay handling it.
The response I got from Amazon when I type in backpacking head tent is, "Don't be an idiot. Just use a truck bed tent."
It was, "Are you sure?"
Yeah,
that's funny. I just looked up backpacking head tent and it doesn't come up.
It shows full tents, like little like one person things.
Yeah, the head tent is throwing
whoever
it off.
Makes head tents got arrested.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't say head tent. I think it's like a half body tent.
I think people died in those.
Let's move on because this is not getting any better.
All right. So before we were talking about Instagram and our massive followers, thank you if you do our following, Camping While Awesome. We've got some good feedback on the podcast so far. Friends of the podcast have come out
positive and feedback.
Said that they enjoy it. I think Peter B said that he wanted to hear more like camping hacks, you know, like tips of what to do.
5-minute crafts version?
Maybe. But for the first time ever, we have questions from Instagram on Camping While Awesome. So let's do it. There's not many. Lane Skelton Design asks,
oh God,
what are you listening to
while you're camping?
Just in general.
Right now?
In general.
I'm listening to Lane and some other idiot talking about toe shoes and head tents. No. we'll just make it, what are we listening to while we're camping? Maybe?
No, just what are you listening to?
What you listening to?
What did you listen to on the way in this morning?
I listened to the Carmudgeon podcast, actually. Okay. Haggerty's Carmudgeon podcast with Jason Camisa and Derek Tam Scott.
How was it?
I am really enjoying the podcast. I really enjoy both of their technical knowledge about most things automotive, and we share a lot of the similar opinions. I would just have to say that Jason does a lot of this. We kind of like moves
away from the mic.
Microphone.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of hard to listen to that podcast while you're driving or if there's like a bunch of road noise. I can't listen to that podcast. There's really only like three podcasts I can listen to when I'm driving any of my old cars. It's this podcast, Smoking Tire, and Spike's podcast, because all the rest of them, I think they're having a hard time getting the audio right and just having good discipline with the microphone.
Professional journalists.
And all of that stuff. Coincidentally, not professional journalists, but no, I think definitely.
Professional news anchors.
News anchors. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the Carmudgeon podcast is what I was listening to this morning.
Cool.
On my way in, I listened to Beyond the Grid. The F1 podcast.
Nice.
Tom Clarkson.
It's really interesting. Lane has gone full, like 4 years nerd ago, F1. There was like F1, whatever. And now he's like the most dominant.
I get it. Thing. I get really into things.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Baseball was the same thing for Giants and that faded out. Yeah. And
faded out and I couldn't watch it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got rid of cable.
And then like you were into ponies for a while.
Yeah. I was into My Little Ponies.
Yeah. My Little Ponies.
I'm a jabroni.
And jabroni pony.
Yeah.
But F1, I could see that that podcast is actually really good.
Tom Clarkson's really good.
Depending on the guests.
I mean, most of the guests are pretty good.
Yeah, most of them are.
Yeah.
So why don't we expand that question and say, what do you listen to while you're camping?
If only Jack Johnson, right?
I'm not a big music guy while camping.
I'm
just saying, like, I'll listen to it a little bit here and there, but it's not like I need to have
music. Do you listen to music, like, in the garage while you're working on
always,
your car or something
always,
like that?
That's one of those.
It's almost like an escape from that, depending on the type of camping. If it's like party zone camping, yes, I'm all for it. But if it's like I'm somewhere out in deep woods.
So what are you listening to while you're camping in party zone? So like, say, for example.
Like Camping While Awesome?
Yeah. Like, what are we going to listen to during Camping While Awesome?
For me, like, I know this is probably counterintuitive, but I'm more into background music when it comes to camping.
That's
music.
Fine. That's still music.
I'm not really into like blasting music unless you're in a party, like everyone's partying like that. Like at a, you know, if you're at like some sort of festival or whatever, camping, great. But mostly background music and usually chill stuff, maybe some yacht rock, maybe some reggae, maybe some, you know, that kind of stuff. Like
some like I think Santana playing the guitar in the background.
I think it's all about background because you're having conversations with people and hanging out.
And like, you don't want to just overwhelm your scene.
It's not the most forward facing thing.
And I don't want people to play their music if I'm not into it, like next door at their campground.
I don't really care.
I'm saying blasting. Yeah. So I wouldn't want to do the same to them. That's all.
You guys listen to, what is that band? Tofu Green Curry or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Krung Thai or
Krungbin.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Krungbin.
Something like that. Just like kind of in the background.
That's perfect. Yeah. Tofu green curry.
Music in your garage is like one of the best, great things in life.
But I'm kind of like all in on podcasts when I'm working. I'll just put it in my back pocket, full blast, like yard work, garage stuff.
I do that too. Or I'll even have a headphone AirPods. On when I'm cleaning my car or something. Have an earbud in or something. I don't have AirPods though.
I don't either.
I have wired.
I'm a wired
wires. So.
Whatever you're gonna use.
I like untangling wires every time.
Yeah, me too. And I like it when they fall out because I like hit it.
You guys didn't get AirPods on like Amazon Prime Day when they were like $13.
I was given AirPods like 4 years ago, and I got them, and then I said, "Who wants these?"
Nice.
I re-gifted them.
Yeah, AirPod Pros are the way to go.
I just don't see myself like plugging them in and stuff.
I hate not having charge stuff.
Yeah. All right.
It's me. Automotive Omnivore asks, camping while awesome can lead to a heavy burden on your brakes with mountains, a fully loaded vehicle, and maybe a trailer. To maintain braking performance and avoid vibration, thoughts on cryo-slotted rotors? I've had good luck with them, but wonder if it's the slots or the cryo treatment that's making the difference.
1,000%. Yes, I agree with you on this. The cryo treatment is probably making the biggest difference.
Probably all about the cryo, right? The slots aren't doing anything.
The slots. So I'm going to clear this up because I've heard you guys talk about this on the other podcast, on the Driving While Awesome podcast. The slots are there, as far as I understand it, to evacuate the gas that can build up between the pad and the rotor. And that's why the slots go the opposite direction perceptively from what you think is because at any one point, there's a path for the gas to escape behind the pad.
We all like gas escaping.
Drilled rotors, you're actually removing thermal mass. So your total thermal capacity of the rotor goes down. And in many cases, especially when you're towing, you don't want drilled rotors. You want the biggest, heaviest rotors you possibly can so you can manage the heat.
Dissipate the heat.
The biggest deal is if your car has the option of getting cryo-treated rotors from like Tire Rack or something like that. Tire Rack, I think, has the biggest selection. Absolutely, yes. I put the cryo-treated rotors on my wife's Sienna when we had it. After three sets of OEM rotors or two replacement sets and one original set that kept warping, we went with the Centric cryo-slotted rotors from Tire Rack in just the front. They weren't available in the rear for the Sienna. And we went another 40-ish thousand miles without touching the rotors again, and they never warped. And Toyotas are notoriously bad for warped rotors. So,
dude, I feel like minivans in general.
They are. They're under brake. They get so heavy.
They just warp all the time.
Loaded up and heavy, and their front engine, front transmission, all that stuff's up front. Yep. They get heavy. And then, you know, people pile stuff on.
I remember that Odyssey we had for Radwood that they gave us for a year.
Yeah.
I drove that a little bit, and it felt so under brake. Like, it felt like you were abusing it by braking normal. Like, you wanted to be lighter on the brakes.
Well, the other thing too is they try to provide this really soft braking experience for the user, and it's like you're not going to get the performance you want. So
when you load up a minivan with like suitcases and you have two kids and like all of this stuff and you're doing 90 miles an hour on I-5, bikes are in the back,
you
slam on the brakes and the whole car feels like it's going to vibrate apart just because I've seen it the very most with Japanese car manufacturers, especially Toyota. Mazda does this. Honda a little bit, not as much. Honda's been pretty good about that ever since I can remember. But
Odyssey was not good, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but all of the minivans, they're just undersized rotors and brakes. So long story short, if you're towing and you have the option of putting cryo rotors on, absolutely it's worth it. And the cryo rotors, I'll spare the details of exactly what happens, but essentially they become tougher, stronger, and their crystalline structure is more naturally in line with what the shape of the material is. It's a very bad way of explaining what's happening, but essentially when you heat it up, it doesn't get this kind of differential stress that comes in a raw cast rotor or something like that. And then that way it heats up and cools down kind of at the same rate throughout the rotor. But that being said, one of the biggest things, especially for towing something, when you come up to an intersection, don't ever just come to a stop. Stop short 10 feet or something like that slowly, and then just kind of creep your last 5 or 10 feet very slowly just to kind of let the rotor cool down uniformly. Because what will happen is you'll hold onto the brakes, the
portion of the rotor that's under the pads stays very hot. The rest of it cools down, and now you have a differential thermal gradient across that rotor. And that's what you doing that repeatedly is what causes warpage. And then what happens is almost like a flat spot on a tire, where if you start getting a flat spot, every time you get another flat spot, it lands on that one spot and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. You're doing the same thing to the thermal stresses inside that rotor. You'll find that it'll naturally want to stop in that spot again as the rotor starts to warp more and more. Yep. And then it just exaggerates the problem.
And there's obviously times where you can't prevent stopping, you know, full stop and of holding course. It. But yeah, definitely coming more to an easy stop. And I think we see it a lot here because we have mountainous terrain. So people will load up trucks, and the trucks have great stopping power usually. But when you load up like lumber and tile or whatever it is, and you drive over Highway 17 where we are, it's, you know, you're driving from sea level to 2,500 feet and then back down or whatever it is, 2,000 feet. And it's steep, right? Like the entire time you're on your brakes. So take the overdrive off, downshift a gear, depending on what kind of car you have. Those are important.
It's really not that bad for your motor to engine brake a little bit.
No.
It's just loud.
Yeah, but I think that answers the question.
Downshifting is great.
Brickyard Garage asks, is there any more impractical Camping While Awesome setup that you'd actually choose a rooftop tent over? So I think he's saying rooftop tents are very impractical. What would it have to be where you'd actually take the rooftop tent option over option X? Head tent?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of situations where a rooftop tent probably is better than like setting up a tent on the ground. But is it worth spending more than like $100? You know what I'm saying? Like, is the $4,000 price tag or $3,000 or whatever, $2,000 even, is it worth it? And do you want this big thing on top of your car?
Heavy, big thing.
Because I think in a lot of cases, it probably is the better solution.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a guy at Morning Motors, driving along some Morning Motors last weekend, and he had a Ford Raptor with a GoFast camper on it, and I got to chat with him for a little bit.
What's a GoFast camper?
It's an aluminum-sided camper with a pop top that you can access the bed through the inside of the camper, or you can get an optional ladder to access.
And the GoFast camper is cool because it has like almost like a VW truck or whatever, where the sides fold down.
Okay.
The sides all fold up.
Yeah. So
like the both sides. Cool.
So and the whole roof gets taller.
Well, so the roof pops up like a Westfalia.
Okay.
And you have a bed up there, and then the sides all open and the hatch mm-hmm. opens as well. So you have like cabana mode where it's all okay. open, but it's really quick release. It's like riveted aluminum construction. So pretty strong.
Ali, looks that's good. The one that Cade,
uh-huh.
who did our shoot, he yep. shot, he does the, he shot the commercials okay. and he was saying he got one. He
oh, has yeah, one coming yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So he was looking for a truck to put it on basically.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool. So I've been looking at them a lot. They're fairly affordable. He gave me the whole lowdown about, you know, good and bad. But one of the things he said was it's kind of noisy
yep.
on the truck. You know, he's a Raptor, so it's not quite a truck to start with. But it added a lot of noise. And he had the bars on top to put like a roof rack on. So you can put a roof rack because it's metal.
Yeah.
And he said that was even noisier. Like
yeah, crossbars make a ton
crossbars,
of noise.
Yeah, he had to take those off.
Because oh, and these are built worse. For Baja too. So they're built to like... Do they're like tough. Gnarly,
yeah.
okay. tough thing. Yeah,
they're
can,
strong.
They can take some abuse.
Yep. But the problem is that to access the roof, you know, rooftop, you have to go through inside and remove one of the panels of the bedding, right?
Oh.
It, like at the floor or yep. the foot of the bed, there's two squares that you can pop out and slide in and out that way. But that's kind of, you have to like inch your way down and slide through a hole. And then you're in the bed of the truck.
Could you also do the ladder style?
You can also do
it's
the
weird.
Ladder style.
I'm actually going
it's just
the complete
giving you another,
opposite direction.
But it's just giving you another way to go in.
Yeah, the ladder is optional. So it yeah. doesn't come with it, but you can add it.
Because I think actually that's the only way a rooftop tent is useful is if you have to enter from the inside of the vehicle. I don't like the whole like ladder outside the vehicle and like all of this stuff. So I think... The rooftop tent is interesting. I keep thinking about like that 996 with the rooftop tent. And then I think to myself that, okay, if you're in there by yourself, basically in that tent, just sleeping, the crap that you have to go through to have that tent on the top of your 996 95% of the time.
Sucks.
Just get one of these like folding cot tents like I just showed on Amazon and throw it in the back, and then you have a nice 911 to drive around.
You can have your stuff all set up and secured, and you can drive your 911.
So then, then another application, let's say standard like Volkswagen Westie or a Dormobile, something like that. I think that's totally fine. And then the last one is like this, like Rivian pickup truck bed, like rooftop tent thing.
Saying that's like a tonneau cover mounted bed, which is even weirder to me.
Yeah. The one that I think is the coolest are the parallel opening, like rooftop, like you had on that one, Sprinter.
Yeah.
The Sportsmobile.
Straight up.
Yep. I saw that on a G-Wagon, and like for me, like that's kind of like my ultimate overlanding vehicle is like a G500 wolfed out, but it has that full roof length.
And you can access the back still, like there's no cab separation.
No, not at all. It's all one big continuous thing. And then the whole roof parallel goes up. There was one at Overlanding Expo that I just didn't have I didn't stop, but the whole thing goes up, and then you basically have the length of the vehicle.
Yep.
And you can do two twins, or you can do one queen size bed up there or whatever. But all of that being said, if I were to ever build something with a rooftop tent, I'd probably put RV stabilizers in it too, or bring jacks with me.
Yeah. To make
because
it all
it's
level.
Like when you're up on the roof and you're 200 pounds or 250 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
And you like just go to turn over, the whole thing is just like shaking. It's like, and like,
well, that's kind of how I feel about the ladders too, because I don't know how many of you've tried, but it's usually a pretty thin, rickety aluminum ladder.
Sketch.
And getting out is harder than getting in.
Imagine how many times, like if you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
like,
Warren doesn't have to do that.
I don't have to worry about that. But in the middle of the night, if you had to get out.
I don't have to worry about that.
For another reason.
You never know.
It's super rickety. Yeah. And then, you know, you got your special lady friend, you know, your special gal, your main squeak, your best gal,
your
main
squeeze. You adjust your shocks all the time. Like,
and then there's only one, it goes out to the side, right? And so like, if you're on the side with the ladder, but she needs to get out, you're doing the like whole flipping
around. It's only
good
for we know rooftop tents kind of suck, but what's worse than a rooftop tent?
What's worse than a rooftop tent? A head tent.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So that's it, right? The only thing.
Yeah. All right. What's
I will say, rooftop tents are really nice because of a few things. They're flat. They're a flat sleeping surface. Yep. And if you are in a 4Runner or similar, they do not fold down flat.
I know what's worse than a
which is
tent.
Super annoying. You think at first you're like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. Just a slight incline. It sucks really bad.
Yeah, for
so
sure. bad.
So that's
dude.
Number
but
one.
But you do have to level your vehicle then.
To have the rooftop tent?
To have it flat. But yeah.
Kind of. You put your
but
head
I'm just
on
saying
the surface is flat. You don't have rocks poking into your back.
Exactly. So that's one. Yeah. And then the other is,
I know exactly what the other one is.
Tell me.
It's like the little roll up REI inflatable mattress on just like the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing is
that like it's never inflated enough.
You could keep everything in there. You can keep your bedding and stuff, and you can put it all down.
Right.
Yep. That's kind of a great thing. Setup is pretty quick compared to, it's way quicker. It's quicker than most tents.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not as dirty because it is off
on
the ground.
Like the GoFast camper is nice because it is hard aluminum roofed thing that closes and seals, and it opens with hatch struts. So you basically unlock it and it goes,
that's what I like
and
about,
it opens, right? So like there's no, you know, messing around with like propping it up and putting, you know.
That's what I like about the auto home is that it's actually a shell.
Right.
As opposed to like the Tupui, which is just this whack like fabric, and it always looks all gross and
it gets,
you know,
dirty and old.
It's all dirty and old looking.
Yeah. And those take some setup. So
yeah.
And they're heavy. They make noise.
Yeah.
When you're in them.
I had a wacky idea. What if somebody did an AMG 6x6 with a giant long rooftop tent?
Yeah, that'd be great. 4x4 squared, period.
6x6 squared.
I mean, why do you need all those wheels?
You need that wheel, but you need that length.
I know, but you could just make it really killer.
I know, you're great.
Okay, last question. Mark Ono says, what are your worst camping fails? I once forgot flashlights and lanterns. Luckily, iPhone flashlights were a thing.
I've never even thought about bringing a flashlight or a lantern.
My worst camping fail was I went camping with my girlfriend and forgot the bedding. Like, we had sleeping bags, but no pad. I forgot both Therm-a-Rest and our pad. It was just in a different duffel bag. We got to where we were going. It was like, and luckily I had a bunch of extra blankets and we just laid those down and like made the best of it, but it was pretty tattered.
Yeah, that sucks.
It was not good. And she was pissed and should have just broke up with her right then and there. But I didn't.
And how now about you married her?
No, how about you guys?
I don't know. I mean, I've had tons of fails. Are you kidding me? I've only been camping like 20 times in my life, but I've failed like probably 19 of those times. I mean, one time I brought a yoga mat to sleep on, thinking that would be like, oh yeah, that'll be a great place to sleep.
Super comfy.
It did nothing. I brought inflatable mattresses that just didn't inflate. You name a mistake, I've made it, basically. Yeah, I'm pretty cool.
Yeah.
We were camping 2 years ago in Washington Park in Anacortes, Washington, tent camping. And the tent that I bought came with a rain cover. And the weather was warm, 70-something degrees, beautiful, all of this stuff. So I was like, I'm leaving that at home. We'd go to the campsite, beautiful campsite, all of this stuff. I just didn't think in the middle of the night that we're literally on a little peninsula in the middle of the ocean in Pacific Northwest. The dew coming off of the trees felt like rain on the tent. So 3 a.m, 4 or 5 a.m, start getting raindrops all over the tent. And we didn't have any way of protecting ourselves. So we got in the car and went back to the house. It sucked. We were like, everything was soaked.
I feel like that's a mistake I make often, is not bringing enough stuff for when it's cold, whether that's like just extra blankets.
Yeah. It's all about layers,
like clothing, about layers. Right? I'll bring one sweatshirt and you're like, it gets cold, dude. Even in Monterey, just like, you know, in the summer,
bring like two flannels, an extra sweatshirt. And if you don't use them, that's okay.
And bring multiple, just like, even if you have sleeping bags, still bring some big blankets. Like,
blankets
lay
are nice.
Those blankets down under the sleeping bag. It is so nice. And then also pillows. Bring some pillows are a game changer.
Oh, I've always, right now I have just a old pillow from, my bed that I've now turned into a camping pillow, but it's just a standard pillow.
Like a real legit real stuff. Pillow. When you have to sleep on your like backpack of clothes as a pillow,
it sucks. I bring my pillow from home.
Yeah.
And you bring your blankie too. Right?
And it doesn't bring quite, my pillow doesn't quite fit in my head tent, but it's pretty close. So I just kind of stuff it in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
My pillow would not fit in your head tent.
Is it the brand My Pillow?
No.
that guy
definitely not.
That guy, like, yeah, he did some stuff.
No, he's really cool.
Yeah. No, he's
not. Yeah. I was going to say, Peter B. What's up, Peter B? He was asking about some hacks, you know, tips, camping tips. I don't know. A lot of these I'm sure people are well aware of, but in case you're not, lighting is a thing. And some people go nuts with lots of bright lights and stuff. I'm more of the minimal.
Just a few key lights is all you need.
And it doesn't have to be super bright, just because your eyes will adjust. You don't need much, right? Between the bonfire and a couple lights. But the advent of solar powered lights has gotten really good. Yep. And they make string lights that are those, like, they call them fairy lights. They're basically copper string.
I have it.
With the warm light. You don't want the blue or white, course. Right? But those are so cheap. They're like
4,000 K.
$10 for like a long strand, like 30 feet. And you could put a few around, solar powered. They come on either like when it gets dark, they'll stay on until they die, or they'll be motion censored. And I just string those throughout the campsite, like, especially if it's a super dark site.
Yeah, it gives you a little lighting to walk around. You're not going to trip on. You can put it
around the picnic table and around your tent. And it like adds some ambiance. They pack down really small, like, you know, size of a, I don't know, coffee mug. And you can put them all around. So it's cool.
Yeah, those are rad.
It's just a nice little touch. It kind of makes it feel homey. And then it's a very low impact, like no charging required, no batteries, no bullshit.
Yeah. I have the same one that takes 4 AA batteries and I run those Energizer lithiums. Do they last?
But why? You have solar that can do it.
What if you want to use it on the inside? You want the kids
put the solar on the outside and string it in.
I want to give a shout out and a tip.
I stayed. Oh, should we talk about my camping
trip?
Wait,
before you do that, one thing about the lighting. I lied and said I never bring lighting and stuff earlier, but last time we went camping, well, awesome. I was a little bit more prepared. I brought these little tiny LED lights, right, with battery.
Yeah.
But they just like one that like hangs up in the tent. That's such a game changer, just to be able to click that thing in the night or
totally,
you know, whatever. It's you huge. Need to find your.
Totally.
Something, toothbrush or water, and you can actually like see.
I have a tent that has a little attic. It's just a mesh shelf that goes in the very top, and I always leave a little light up there, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's
leave one in that little bag on the side.
It's like perfect. That's all you need.
Bag or something. Yeah.
That's all you need. And now they're making rechargeable headlamps and stuff like that, which is so cool. So they've gotten technology, man. It's coming.
Thank God.
You went on a little Airstream mission.
I went to Costa Nova this weekend.
I'm going this weekend.
Sick.
I leave in a couple days.
Just a quick little shout out. I stayed actually. I didn't stay on our bed in the camper. My dad stayed on our bed.
Head tent?
No. I stayed on this Active Era luxury twin size air mattress. And I have to say, I was quite impressed with the comfort level.
Is it just a straight air mattress?
It's
rubber,
just a normal
vinyl.
Rubber, vinyl.
Does it have tons roadie. Of cells in it?
Or it's how does just it work? Super comfortable. It feels like it.
Like you're sleeping on air.
But do you like get immediately in just a big crevice in the thing?
And no, it's actually
slowly
quite nice.
Deflating the entire night?
Yeah, you wake up on the ground?
No, it has an embedded pump built in. And
was it always going off?
No, it went off when I filled it up. And then the cool thing is it has a deflate mode where it actually turns the fan around.
I mean, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. So it was great. Anyways, we booked Costa Nova earlier. We talked about this briefly. I booked one of the back end sites in the front with the little grassy area. We did Sunday through Tuesday. Talk about a little. This is not a hack. This is just kind of brute forcing your way. But we didn't actually stay Monday night and leave Tuesday. I booked Tuesday night so that I could just stay till the end of day Monday.
Ah. I see.
Yeah.
Right.
So you didn't have to bounce.
Why didn't you just stay the night?
Because I needed to come back to work on Tuesday.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But the nice thing is we were there till like 5 or 6.
Yeah, you weren't forced to leave at 10 o'clock or
exactly.
Whatever.
We didn't like wake up in a rush to pack and clean up. It was like a nice like – and you pay the extra night, $80 or something for the extra night, and it was really nice.
When you're balling, who cares, right?
The weather was amazing. A little bit breezy, but I mean just beautiful like mid-70s. During the day, Costa Nova, for those that have not been, is a pretty special place. And it kind of caters to almost anybody that enjoys outside in nature.
It's options for everyone.
Yeah.
20 miles north of Santa Cruz along the Highway 1, Pacific Coast Highway.
And probably out my favorite part of the California coast.
Mm-hmm. And it has horse riding there. They have... a restaurant, they have a hotel, they have real cabins, like nice kind of luxurious cabins, and then they have tent cabins. They kind of have a little bit of everything in there,
and
then they also have a KOA camp which has its own cabins that you can rent, and it has area for trailers and
so we're doing the tent cabin. My son and I are going on a boys trip.
Sweet.
I think we're going to take the truck. And I haven't been since it was like new, so it's been a long, long time.
Wow.
But I love the whole area. I'll have to get a little download offline about kid options and what to do. And
so they have in the middle
middle of the entire campground. There is I think it's called a pine cone, which is kind of like a bar lounge area, and then next to that is an activity center. And they have like this time when we went, they were doing art and some other thing, but there's like a playground for the kids. You can rent bikes. There's horseback riding this year is shut down still. They're bringing it back next year, but there's like Bean Hollow Beach is 5-minute drive up the road. And so that's like one of the coolest like exploration places to go. I would say bring both of your bikes if you can.
And there's like you can rent games like lawn games and stuff in the middle there.
They have they have a restaurant. The general store is super cute and fun.
Outdoor chess.
They have an amazing little restaurant.
They have a general store, which
I got
nice.
Emotional.
Yeah, I love it.
By the way, stop. I went up there with my kids.
I wasn't even done yet. So
we did.
But we should talk about Saturday because Saturday was like a big day for everybody.
But before, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So Saturday morning. So Saturday morning, wake up with the kids and my dad, my wife going to Vegas with her girlfriends. Kids and dad wake up, leave the house at about 9. I wanted to leave at 7. Typical situation. I go to this really amazing Morning Motors.
Yes,
in Santa Cruz on Sunday. Yeah. Sorry, not Saturday. On Sunday.
Yeah.
And I ran into you guys there. It was pretty cool. So you guys had a Cars and Coffee or Morning
you
Motors.
You ran
situation.
Into us. Yeah.
And then right after that, we went to Beeline Motor Club to watch some F1. I brought the camper there. I got yelled at for taking up the whole parking spot or parking lot.
Yeah.
And then we went to Costa Noah, and Lane and his amazing little family showed up.
I did.
And hilarity ensued.
Okay.
We drove up in the 911 with my two kids.
Sick.
And right off the bat, well, Ali, he had become best friends with the neighbors there. And they're coming over, Ali, here's some artichoke dip. You should try this. And, you know, Ali.
It's kind of nice.
And
great little family.
Lending them like games to play for the kids and stuff like this. But I got up there. He had a little leftover steak, mid tacos. It was delicious.
Ribeye cap, carne asada tacos.
Kind of amazing.
With shishito peppers and jicama.
I like it.
We proceeded.
We did it. Lane and I did it.
We did it.
Eggo s'mores.
What?
Yep.
And it was glorious.
Game changer.
Are we going to do it for a camping?
You know,
awesome?
S'mores are like, you know, how s'mores like, you always like, you're like, yeah, I'll do s'mores. And then they kind of suck.
I'm not a big s'mores fan.
You know, and they kind of suck, right?
They suck.
They fall apart. They
dry,
get over your
too
hands.
Sweet, whatever
they're too
it is.
Dry. Like, yeah.
Just imagine a Choco Taco that doesn't melt.
Do you know the Choco Tacos are done? Did we talk about this?
Oh, by the way,
kidding me?
This yes.
They canceled
I know that.
Them.
I know.
Did you know our last episode that came out, we did a whole debate on what was better, Choco Tacos or Itzits?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
I know.
Because two days later, they canceled Choco Tacos.
And then I was on the beach in Santa Cruz, and they had there was a homie selling ice cream out of a little trolley cart.
Choco.
And he had a Choco Taco sticker.
Oh.
I was like, Andrew and I went and got ice cream. I'm like, do you have Choco Taco? He's like,
out.
Just sold out. Yep. I'm like, that might have been
bummer,
my last
dude.
Chance.
Dude.
Bomber.
I don't know.
Days
Your
Market,
girls
my
got
album.
It.
My girls went to Days Market. They sent me a photo of them cheersing their Choco Tacos.
7-Elevens have Choco Tacos.
So I think they're in supply now, but it's whatever they've made, I think that's it. And so we're at like the last three months of Choco Tacos.
Do you think they're going to have to re-up it though? This is
this sold.
This is like when they canceled
Hostess Twinkies.
Yeah.
And someone bought Twinkies and still made them.
Oh yeah. And there's been
so
talks about
that. How would you
that?
Not just sell
We need
Choco
to have
Taco.
Art by Choco Taco.
I'm down.
This is when they canceled
art,
Family
sell
Guy.
The E36.
Back, you know?
Sell the E36 and buy Choco Taco brand.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And make it bigger than GoPro.
Yeah.
It's owned by Klondike.
And they just said it makes money, but not enough. So we're going to
Yeah, like
just
we have other
it.
Things that are
just
killing
kill
it.
We're just going to kill Jesus. It. Cause it's not
Anyways, the Eggo waffles turned out to be.
Okay, so do you.
The challenge of the Eggo waffles, I'll tell you, was how to toast them the proper way.
So you're cooking the waffles over the fire too?
Yep. That's right.
So that's tough, dude.
I put a barbecue grate. I put a grate out. On over the fire. I always
and they're frozen.
Yeah,
they're frozen. To start with, so that's tricky, right?
It was a little bit tricky. Yeah. There were a couple of them that got a little toasty.
For some people,
yeah, for me.
But I was fine. And then the cool thing about it is you're not,
dude. When
it's so sweet, right? Chocolate and marshmallows. You're not adding a lot of sweetness.
Yeah.
So you're taking away a little, you know, and it. It just wraps all that stuff into a nice thing that's
the little
not a
chocolate
mess.
The chocolate melts into the little crevices of the waffle. Yeah, it doesn't like drip out all over the place. It's actually
it's basically
kind
what
of
a s'more should be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, graham cracker.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, wait. So you're tacoing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're
one,
not going,
one
you're not going
piece.
Two
no,
big old that's sandwich. A, that'd be ridiculous.
That,
and you need like two
We may do that during car week, depending on how gluttonous
That feels like
get.
A mess, though.
How
like
about
the
this?
Nice yeah. thing about
no,
the
taco,
taco
thing was rad, because I was just carrying it and walking around and doing work. You could never do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't get marshmallow over my hands and chocolate and stuff.
Dang.
It was rad.
I love it. What type of waffle did you use?
We just used plain Eggo.
Home style.
Eggo. Okay.
Eggo home style waffles.
You didn't go with
buttermilk.
Generic.
Oh, they were buttermilks?
Yeah, they're the whatever the
yeah, home
no, the
style.
Home style. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
They're the home stuff.
Sorry, sir.
But I thought it would be fun if you could find like an Eggo cinnamon waffle.
No, that's real fun.
Jesus Christ. You're such an idiot.
The thing that I enjoy about it is that you're adding something that isn't that super sweet, and you're in a thing you can hold without getting your hands all like
totally sticky. So, yeah. No, I think that's key. You want the base to be semi.
And I'd hate to say it, but I think an Eggo s'more is more impressive than a s'more saunt.
Oh yeah,
because s'more. But I want to taste a s'more saunt.
Yeah, s'more saunt sounds pretty good. It's got
a little too bougie. Brow.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the sous vide of s'mores. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Who is it? I think Whole Foods sells as mini croissants.
Yeah, many people do. But yeah, I'm down. I will mess.
I think Safeway probably does.
for sure.
Christ, these guys are looking at me.
Speaking of which, food at Camping Awesome is kind of a hot topic.
All right, what do we want to do for food?
So I think we got to do a sausage party again. That worked out pretty well, but it's all about the sides. What's your sigh there?
What's up, bro?
It just depends. So I kind of want to cook something nice this year.
Wow.
Oh, but we're totally against that. Yeah, of course, dude. What do you got?
The problem is that like...
Those taps are good.
There's so many... there's a bunch of people that show up, and this is me being completely selfish, so I'm sorry for sounding like an asshole, but... Or a jerk. I'm sorry. You don't have to bleep that. When I make all of this, I spend a lot of time prepping before we even get to the campsite to marinate the meat and cut it and trim it, all of this stuff. And then somebody shows up with like a hot dog, and then they're like taking all of my food that I like prepped and all of this stuff. And then
is what you're saying.
I like to share if I know that I'm going to share.
Right.
If I don't know that I'm about to share with some dude that just showed up with his portion of the potluck, it's a hot dog.
Well, then like, I think it takes a little communication to be like, hey, here's the menu. Here's what's expected, et cetera, et cetera.
Sounds like a lot, dude.
It's too much work.
And I mean, it's work. I didn't bring anything and I just ate your food.
But also we usually get pizzas and like super easy stuff like that, which it's like not even camping, right? You're just having delivered food.
Or we'll do sausages.
Sausages is easy because, it's very simple. They're already cooked and you just warm them up. But we also have a couple different campsites. I think there's at least one or two offsite campsites that are doing their own thing as well.
It's for Peter and
Drew and them have the site.
Where did they went to a different area?
I don't know which number they have.
No, I thought Drew was with us.
I thought they said they were in our area.
39?
I have no idea.
They're in the 60s, I think. Anyways.
39? Oh, why did they get different areas?
I don't know.
I thought Drew was going with us. I put his name on our thing.
Maybe.
Jeez.
I don't know
what's happening right now.
So, in other words, I think there might be less people than you think and or the ability to cater the menu a little better.
So I'm not sure what I'll cook. It'll have something to do with red meat, some vegetables, and some bread.
Okay.
Sandwich style buffet, maybe tacos, maybe something.
And are you Persian. Cooking over the fire? Persian?
Yeah.
I like it. Are you cooking over the fire?
When I go camping, everything gets cooked over the open fire.
You don't bring a barbecue?
No.
I see.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It's offensive.
All right.
I may bring a barbecue if I want to smoke something, but that's it.
Or if I want to cook something easily without having to start a fire.
When you get to the campsite, you start a fire and you keep it going. The real flex is that can you put your fire out the night before, but leave the embers in a good enough way to where you can start the fire the next morning off of those embers.
And not light the entire county on fire.
And I did that at Costa Nova. They have a new thing.
Wait, you lit the county on fire?
Yes. If you leave a fire unattended, it's a $50 fine.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So even if it's like...
But what is unattended? Like, can you be in the camper while it's going?
Yes. Yeah.
But you can't be off the campsite.
You can't like go on a hike and like start a big fire. Who's doing that? That's normal. But even they said even embers, like you have to like put it all out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's risky, dude. Risky business. I always worry about that. One of the big fires up where we used to go camping, it was started by hunters or fishermen, basically that exact scenario. Yep. They just didn't put out the fire well enough. And there was like a windstorm that rolled through and it just blasted it. So
it makes sense.
Yeah. And people are dumb. And yeah.
Also, I think I found my favorite source for firewood so far
Just steal
not
it from
including,
the supermarket?
Not including that really awesome place in Half Moon Bay on 92. But Ace Hardware, their boxed hardwood is actually quite good.
Yeah, but what's the newsflash there?
Compared to like the tinder that you get from most boxed wood.
Yeah.
Like this stuff like lasts a long time. You can split it and use it as smaller pieces.
Yeah.
It was really, really good firewood.
You know, my buddy said, who's like hardwood. I think we've talked about this, but he's very into like firewood and stuff. Said the best firewood is olive.
Olive is really good.
Olive wood. Better than almond. Better than oak.
Juniper olive. Is also good too.
Juniper? I like oat. Sappy as hell.
I like oat milk.
Oat milk's good.
Oat milk is really good.
What about pig milk?
That's good.
And that's Jamie podcast. Olive oil.
Yeah. Okay.
We've been watching too much Uncle Roger on YouTube.
No, we haven't.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.